Both ends and the money's transferred, it's ours to do what we want. Which, by the way, you're both going to be getting a sizable bonus. I can't give you numbers yet, but as soon as everyone signs on the dotted line, I can, Myra replies. Projections have that it's going to make the company millions a year in profit. So why not follow this plan?
Oh my God, what have I done?
Because it's a beautiful place, Cassie says, and those fucking profiteering assholes are going to completely destroy it.
Myra is taken aback by the venom in Cassie's voice.
Excuse me?
Myra, I know you sent us there to do this job, I say, desperate to keep her rage off Cassie. But after seeing the beauty there, I can't in good conscience let this go without speaking my mind. I tell her everything about the property, Wesley, even my love for Tony. I pour it all out, the total story, not just the lines I fed the board yesterday. Myra is white-faced as she listens.
I don't know what to say, she says. You turned over the letter of intent to the company. They're in final negotiations with Wesley. Once he signs off on the deal, it's over. There's no going back.
Tell them that this deal can't happen with this plan, I plead with her. She backs away.
You know I can't do that. Our jobs are at stake.
Myra, please, I beg. They're going to ruin one of the last truly beautiful places on Earth. It's like their plan's like someone replacing the Mona Lisa with some paint-by-numbers Jesus on velvet.
It's done, Hannah, and you're just going to have to accept it, Myra says with finality.
She stomps back to her office and slams the door, silence falling like a curtain between me and Cassie.
What the hell are we gonna do? She says after a moment. We can't let those bastards do this.
In some karmic way that lets me know the cosmos is jacking with me. At that moment, my computer dings with an email from Wesley Mauber.
Dear Hannah, how has your return to the mainland been? I hope that the jet lag has worn off. I had a long phone call from the legal department at Aurora Holdings, and while they certainly talked my ear off, it also left questions running around in my head. You probably wonder what it was that convinced me to choose you. Let me say, it wasn't just your words. I could read between the lines, and I knew that half of what you said about Aurora's plans were corporate bullshit. Oh, you believed it, but it's still corporate bullshit. You're smart, Hannah, but naive, and maybe not quite as jaded as I am after so many years in the corporate rat race. I thought this would be another lesson worth learning firsthand. Do not be the tool they use to further their cause. Know what your purpose is, and how to best utilize your own strengths. You are in charge of your destiny. Beyond your letter and Aurora's proposal, there's something else you need to see, and, dare I say, learn from. I think it's more important than anything else that's happened since I first laid eyes on you.
There's an attachment, a PDF file. I open it. It's the letter Tony wrote Wesley. I see the handwriting, and I read it over twice, letting it soak in.
Dear Wes, this might not be what you thought, but I don't want to win your competition anymore. When I arrived in Hawaii, I was so different. I was ready to kick ass and take names. Even arriving, my only thoughts were of getting your property, then relaxing with some fine island honey. Then I met Hannah again. You see, I met her a little over a year ago, at the wedding of a family friend. And oh man, did I want to lay the pipe on her that night. It was thinking like that, of course, that got a glass of punch thrown on my tux. All of this you know. We've sort of talked about it since my arrival. What you probably saw with your own eyes, though, was that as soon as I saw her again, I wanted her just as much. That first night after she slipped the horny goat weed into my food, I wanted two things. Your property, and to fuck her so hard she never, ever forgot the name of Tony Steele. Maybe it's your crazy lessons. Maybe it's the fact that I still want to choke your damn bird. Or maybe it's the magic of the land. But somewhere along the way, I realized something. It doesn't matter which company wins, which side wins. As long as this property, people involved with it like your wife and her family, and all those people in the village who open their lives up to us at the festival, as long as they win, it's all good. And I realized, as I've thought about it, that this land has to go to someone who needs it, who will cherish it and protect it, and treat it with the honor it deserves, who will preserve the magic that is here. That person isn't me, because as much as I love your property, as much as I love this land and the people I've met, I've come to realize that I love Hannah more. Wesley, if Hannah told me it would make her happy, I'd burn this property to the ground. And you deserve better than that. You deserve better than me. So I want Hannah to win the contract. She's an amazing woman, beautiful inside and out. Someone who will make sure your legacy and the land will be protected with honor. I don't want to be an obstacle to her happiness. And if by stepping back I can give her her dream, I want to do so.
Tears roll down my face as I read the message again and again, seeing the word that I wanted to hear. Love. Hannah? Cassie presses. What are we going to do? I look up, fires hotter than Oahu's volcanoes burning in my belly.
We can't let the deal happen.
You look big, I say, hugging Roxy carefully as Cassie and I come into her penthouse. Cassie's eyes are huge, about ready to pop out of her head as she takes it all in. Where's Sophie?
On a campus visit to Harvard, Roxy says with a smile. I doubt she's gonna go, but now's the time to explore options.
You said it was important.
Hold on, Cassie says, still looking around. She scrunches up her face, making Roxy look at me with concern.
10 seconds, I reply,
watching as Cassie squeals softly, hopping up and down before opening her eyes and letting it all out. Oh my God, I'm such a fan! I love watching you perform, and this is so amazing being in your house! Cassie blurts out in a single long stream before taking a deep breath. Okay, fangirl moment over. I barely held it in the last time we went shopping together.
Roxy laughs, giving me a look. I can see why you like her.
We sit down and exchange small talk for a little bit. Roxy shows us some ultrasounds. Her baby is going to be big, like the father. Roxy shows me some of the baby clothes that have come in from fans and people at Club Jasmine, and they're adorable.
But tell me, what's going on? You said it had something to do with the trip.
I mean, I'm not even sure what all went on.
Oh, it was crazy, Cassie blurts, grinning. We met a guy who thinks he's a pirate. There was a tug of war and obstacle courses. Oh, and I totally got to be Katniss. I put an arrow in like a dozen fish.
Liar, I say with a snort. You barely hit the ocean with your arrows half the time.
Oh, Roxy says, and I can actually see her stomach squirming as the baby moves around.
Oh, my. Feels like I've got a twerk-off going in my belly.
Must be a girl, then, I tease.
But Roxy's eyes darken as she sees me, and sees the serious expression on Cassie's face.
Okay, you two, what's up? I can see something is wrong, and your message more or less said it, too. I see hurt in your eyes, Hannah. And Cassie, you look scared as fuck.
I think I may have made the biggest mistake of my life, I reply, tears stinging at my eyes. We won the contract, but what Aurora is going to do to the land, to the people? I can't go on. The pain's too much. And Cassie takes over, showing Roxy the file folder Myra gave us. Roxy's eyes go wide with the horror as she understands.
Is this not what the plan was from the start?
I shake my head. I should have known better. Roxy, Tony basically told Wesley to choose to go with me and Aurora. I don't know why, but Wesley showed me the letter Tony wrote. At the end, he said that he'd give up anything to make me happy, and that he thought I'd be the one to make sure something like this didn't happen. But also, he said he loves me. I never told him. I never told him how I feel, and now I feel like I'm going to lose the most precious gift I've ever gotten. My heart's a dead lump in my chest, and I don't know what to do except fight to protect it all.
Well, you know me. I spent all that time not chasing my dreams. It took finding Jake to wake me up again, to get me to start doing what I meant to do, she says. So we need to get you back on that track. What do you want most?
The question shocks me. It's not what I came here for, but the answer comes to me immediately. I want Tony by my side.
See, Roxy asks with a smirk. Why work for that coven of soulless vampires? They lied to you. They lied to everyone to get you all to go along with it.
I learned that chasing my dream and singing brought me more happiness than I ever could have imagined. For me, the decision would be simple. How can I? I ask. My God, I took Tony's dream of helping his family and I almost burned it to the ground. Because of me, he went against his brother. No wonder he left the way he did. He probably dreaded going home to face Oliver.
You let me worry about that, Roxy says with a smirk. Remember, Oliver Steele is my brother-in-law now, so Tony's family too. I'm pretty sure if they don't want me singing about Oliver's little performance at Club Jasmine that time, they'll at least listen.
Performance? Cassie, who wasn't there, asks. What performance?
Let's just say Ollie looks better in stockings than any heterosexual man has any right to be, Roxy says with a laugh. But seriously, getting with Jake and following my heart changed my life. I had Mindy, and now you have me.
Wait, what's this about stockings? Cassie asks. What type of fun do you people have?
Stick around for a while and you'll find out, Roxy says.
Now, I have one question. If you do this, you're out of a job, probably both of you. You understand that, right? I look at Cassie, who swallows her fear but gives me a nod of support. It's in my hands now.
Fuck the job, I growl, looking at Roxy. Make the call. I'm gonna go get my stud muffin and we're gonna save that property.
Chapter 26. Anthony. Thank you so much, Caleb, Mom says as we finish fixing the water sprinkler. I can't really blame Mom. She doesn't know where the pipes for the system ran. But when she decided to put in a tetherball set for her grandchildren, and nobody exactly checked, the result was a big mess. So it fell to me and Caleb, sweating our asses off in the sun once again, to replace the 4-foot cracked section of PVC pipe. Aw, shucks. You're welcome, Ms. Steele, Caleb drawls, and I swear he's putting just a little extra into his voice. It's almost annoying. Did you enjoy your stay? Mom asks before looking at me and then at Caleb. You mind telling me what's wrong with my boy here? Nothing that I know of, Caleb says innocently. I gotta give him credit. He isn't ratting me out, respecting that I don't really want to talk about it. Mom crosses her arms, and I know the look on her face. I want to tell Caleb to watch out, but she's too quick. Caleb, don't you sass me, young man. You know exactly what's going on, and I'm going to find out one way or another. Ma, I told you a million times nothing is wrong, I say. Stop embarrassing me. I'm trying to make my voice strong and commanding, but even to my ears it lacks any conviction. The fact is, I've never been in love before. I've never felt my heart break before, and it fucking hurts. Mm-hmm, Mom says. You know I can smell bullshit from a mile away. But I'm going to go inside. If you boys can finish that up, I'd appreciate it. Mom goes inside, and I look over at Caleb. Sorry about that. No problem, Caleb says. You doing okay still? I pick up my shovel and plunge it into the wheelbarrow of dirt that we've dug out of the hole. Hell no, I admit, carefully dropping it into the ditch we've dug around the new pipe. With nothing much to do for Oliver right now except scout deals over the internet a few hours a day, I've had too much time on my hands to think. I keep coming back to the idea of taking a road trip to see Hannah. Calling just won't do. Caleb digs in too, his shovel scooping up dirt and dropping it down evenly. You know, if you really wanted to, I might be willing to call shotgun. I stop, leaning on my shovel. Why? Caleb thinks, then goes for another scoop of dirt. You ever wonder why I flirt with women, Cassie included? But never more than that? The thought has crossed my mind, I admit. But I never really had an answer on why that was. Are you not attracted to Cassie? Fuck. Are you coming out to me, man? I love you, but not like that. I'm team pussy forever. Caleb chuckles, but shakes his head. She's a nice girl, but I've been in love once. This was a few years ago. Her name was Wendy Reinhardt. I'm a little more guarded these days. Wendy? Don't know that name, I admit. Must have been when I was being a party hog in college. About that time, yeah, Caleb admits. I fell for Wendy pretty hard. I did all sorts of stupid shit to keep her attention, but I got burned. I don't really want to discuss all the details because it fucked me up pretty bad for a while, but just, I know what it's like to love and to lose. You're not telling me you haven't been with a girl since then, are you? Caleb chuckles, shaking his head. Fuck no. I still talk the talk because I'm a creature of habit, but I'm a little more cautious beyond that. I'm not ready for love again. But you, Tony. Hell, I lost Wendy because of what she did to me. You've still got a chance with Hannah. I'll tag team drive your ass tonight if you want. I think about it. I'd love nothing more than to have her in my arms. But if she doesn't want to see me, if I'm going to cause her pain, I don't want to go running to her doorstep. Listen, man, thanks for having my back, but let me think on it. I wouldn't think too long, Caleb says. I didn't say anything. Kept hoping you'd seen it, but maybe you didn't. When we were driving away, I saw Hannah come around the side of the house. She was looking at us. She was trying to look for you, Tony. Now, some people say I'm not a smart man, but I know love when I see it. I reach in my pocket and grab my phone, going to message drafts, finding the text I never sent to Hannah. I can't wait any longer, and I hit send. So this property could be the next big deal indeed, says Martha, Oliver's property acquisitions manager. She's mainly talking to Ollie. I'm sitting quietly to the side, pretending to look at the big monitor she's rigged up on the wall. We're on the second floor of the Flaming Dragon building, above Mindy's place in the office that is supposedly Oliver's headquarters. Really, it's Martha's office, but it's a good place to talk business. I've been coming in for the past couple of days. I felt obligated after giving away the Mauber estate to Hannah. Oliver hasn't said anything, but he understands, knowing that I want to make it up to him and everyone else. I told Caleb the truth. My sleep's been shit. I've been hitting the gym like a madman because I've got a desperate hope that if I tire my body out enough, it'll get pummeled into sleep. So far, all I've done is earn a really sore set of quads. Every time I try to lie down, I'm thinking of Hannah, wondering how she's doing. I feel like shit. Hey, babe. It's Mindy, sticking her head in the door. Someone's here to see you. Says they need to talk business. Show them up, Oliver says. I'm too tired to bother to look. Probably another associate. Maybe someone with the deal Martha found. There's a quiet knock on the door, and it opens. Hello. I didn't mean to. I twirl around at the sound of the unmistakable voice, standing up so fast that the table jumps as my aching quads jostle it, spilling Martha's coffee and making her jump back herself. Hannah! What are you doing here? I crossed the space to her, stopping up short. I took a flight here. This is something I had to do face to face. Tony, I got your text message and I wanted to respond, but listen, I've got $317 in my checking account and a landlord who's going to be pissed that I don't have my rent and Cassie's freaking out on me, hoping that I'm not wasting my damn time. I'll excuse myself, Martha says, exchanging glances between us. An amused expression on her face. I think you all have a lot to talk about. She leaves while Oliver sits back, an interested look on his face, as Hannah and I stare at each other, both of us too nervous to reach out and cross that final line separating us. Finally, Hannah clears her throat and looks over at Oliver. I'm here about Wesley's land, Hannah says. What Aurora is planning to do. Here, it's easier if I just show you. I can't believe that I'm doing this. I'm so gonna get sued, but damn it, it's the right thing to do. Hannah reaches into her purse and pulls out the file, showing it to us. I'm horrified. It's the only word I can think of. A 5-floor main building, restaurants, water park. What the fuck, they're tearing out the spa to put in a golf course, Oliver says, shaking his head. There's going to be literally nothing left. Exactly. Hannah says, and unless we can stop them, after that, their sights are going to be on the village. I can't help but think I bear some responsibility for this. It should have gone to you guys. You'd obviously have to make your money, but at least you guys would have respected the land. We would have. Ollie gets up to leave. Let me start making some calls and see what, if anything, can be done. Legally, my hands are tied, but there might be some options. I might start with calling this Wesley Mobber. I cut him off, getting up. Let me. I have his personal number. It'll be better coming from us. I'll give him a call. The book's back at my place. Hannah nods. He's right. It's kind of like Wesley shares a bond with all of us. Besides, I want to say this in front of you first. It's what brought me here. Ollie looks curious as he sinks back into his seat, and I turn to Hannah, curious. What do you mean? She takes a deep breath, and I can see... fear? Oliver, I'm sure your brother told you all about the place and how special it is. I can tell from your reaction. What he didn't tell you is how we fell in love. God, I was so wrong about him. Hannah! I start to tell her that Oliver already knows, but she keeps going, momentum not letting her stop. Tony, you're cocky, you're sarcastic, you're a major pain in the ass, and your decision to send me a dick pic of all things. You bugged me to get Hannah's number so you could send her a pic of your dick? Oliver growls at me, and I blush. It's okay, Oliver, I kind of asked for that, Hannah says, blushing herself. That's a story for another time. But I was wrong about Tony. He's the kindest man I've ever met. Wesley sent me the final letter he wrote, the final challenge, and in it, I read how he sacrificed everything to make me happy. So Oliver, please don't be angry at him. Tony, at the property, I wanted to tell you, but I was too afraid. I thought that there'd be no way I could really feel this way, especially this fast. And just like you did with the property, you saw the truth and did the right thing. So I want the world to know that I love you too. You said you'd burn down Wesley's estate to make me happy. Well, how about we work together and save the place where we fell in love? You sure that's what you want? I ask, my throat tight. Hannah nods, and I get up, going to her and pulling her into my arms, kissing her softly. She wraps her arms around my neck, and I hold her close. Tears of happiness trickling down my cheeks as I feel complete again. Hannah, I swear to God, I'll be the man you deserve. Oliver looks from Hannah to me and laughs. Yeah, I guess I looked about that stupid when I walked back into the Bean Gal's den and went to get Mindy back. Hannah, Tony's told me all about you two. But let me call my lawyer, see what we can do. You two? Well, go get that phone number. Because we've got some important business to handle. And guys, don't get too sidetracked, he says with a grin and a raised eyebrow. We're back down in the basement. Because of the time difference between here and Hawaii, it's late. But for Wesley Mobber, it's just past lunch. Wesley is sitting in his meditation room. But of course, he's going to have good Wi-Fi in that place. It's one of those weird things about him. The balance of ecological with modern high-tech. It's nice to see you again, Tony. And nice to see Hannah with you. It's good to see you too, Wesley, I say, smirking when a familiar squawk sounds, and Momo settles on his shoulder. You too, Momo. I wish I could be saying this under happier circumstances. Wait, Wesley says, smiling that strange little smile of his. First, before we talk about what you emailed me, there's something I have to ask. Have you two talked? If you mean have we told each other how we feel, yes, Hannah says, reaching over and giving my hand a squeeze. But Wesley, us being in love isn't the reason we called. It's Aurora and your legacy, your estate. You know what a legacy is? Wesley says, chuckling. It's what people who don't have anything else to leave behind comfort themselves with saying they have. My legacy, if there is one, is going to be the people I've been able to touch and influence. So tell me, how have I touched you two? You gave us the chance to fall in love, I reply immediately. Behind the computer screen, Oliver raises an eyebrow, but he sits back silently. You taught me that there are things more important than money, work, and rules. There's people. And the Aurora plan is to eventually take the heritage of Alani's village and destroy it, turning it from something to be treasured into some plastic trinket to be hawked to tourists for $10 and a side of fried plantains. I can't just sit by and let that happen. They are rat bastards, I agree, Wesley says.
Rat bastards!
Momo squawks, and Oliver sits up, surprised, and I have to hold back a grin. Welcome to what I had to put up with. It gets better.
So we have to...
Hannah says, but Wesley grins.
What?
You two have taken me to be a man with a lot of money, who's more than a little off his rocker, right? Wesley asks.
Wait, don't answer that.
Wesley continues, and I have to laugh.
But I made my money by being the coldest-blooded shark in an ocean of sharks.
Do you have a copy of the contract?
Of course, Hannah says. Why?
Turn to page 7, paragraph 31E, Wesley says.
It's a minor little paragraph, but...
As he talks, I can see the shrewd business acumen glinting in his eyes. We might have misjudged him, underestimating him the whole time, because he very clearly has a trick up his sleeve. Hannah's already flipped over her pages, and we read it together. He's right. It is minor, but it's a very clear out, and Wesley can trigger it unilaterally without getting us in trouble. Hawaii has some very strong laws on exploitation and land use, and I've added to it here, he explains. Their plans give me an out. So, Oliver, are you there?
I'm here,
Oliver speaks up, coming around. It's nice to talk to you face to face again, Mr. Mobber. Here's the deal, Wesley says. I'm willing to sell my property to you, with a few new clauses to the contract.
What new clauses?
Oliver asks. First, I realize that you're not looking to lose money, but the spirit of this land must be preserved. I thought I was careful in narrowing it down to just you or Aurora, but I should have known better. With that in mind, I'm going to require that you have a permanent live-in manager on the estate. They would have to be approved by myself and my wife first. I think I can find some people who might be willing to do that, Oliver says, glancing at me. Although from what I know, they're a pain in the ass at times. Wesley grins. Okay, I'll contact Aurora and tell them I am triggering clause 31E. Tomorrow morning, I'll call you. Oh, and one more thing.
What's that?
I ask. You came to me. This time, I'll come to you. Alani would like to see some of the mainland, and I've heard there's a hell of a coffee house in the family, and a hell of a singer. Alani happens to be a fan of Heartstopper. Think we can arrange something? Oliver laughs. Wesley, you get here, and we'll make it happen. It's a deal. When we're done with the call, Hannah hugs me tightly. Thank you, Stud Muffin. Stud Muffin, I ask, and Ollie grins, getting his laptop and recognizing his cue to leave. We're alone, and I turn to Hannah. What is this Stud Muffin stuff? That's what I thought of you when I first saw your butt. You were a total Stud Muffin. I just want to take a bite of that bubble butt. I laugh, embarrassed. yeah, if you say so. Hannah laughs, getting up and straddling my legs. I'm for real. I can teach you how to twerk. I taught Roxy all her best moves. Want me to show you? I laugh, putting my hands on her waist before reaching around and running my hands over her ass. I think I'll pass. I might have something, but not as much as my big booty. Hannah wags her finger at me not to finish that sentence, even as she arches her back to press her ass into my hands more. Oh no, buddy, don't you dare say it. I laugh. Sorry, couldn't help myself. I massage Hannah's ass, and she sighs happily before giggling. Don't tell anyone I said this, but I sort of miss that damn bird. I'm going to be happy to see her again. I knew it, I reply, pulling Hannah into my lap more and drawing her in for a kiss. But if you really want to show me some dancing, I have a few ideas.
What?
She asks breathlessly, moaning as I kiss down to the curve of her neck, licking the soft skin, relishing the taste of her. Let's see how well you can pole dance. On my pole. Hannah moans, rolling her hips against the hard bulge in my pants. She glances at the door and sees that the lights are off. We're alone. A little corny, but challenge accepted. Hannah stands up, reaching for the first button on her blouse and opening it for me. There's no music, but that doesn't make her slow striptease any less erotic as she peels off her blouse and skirt for me, leaving her in just her bra and panties before she reaches for my shirt. "You know, my love," she says before stopping and shivering in pleasure. "My love, it feels good to call you that. It's even better to hear it," I reply, reaching up to brush her hair out of her face. "I should have told you exactly how I felt back on the island. I was just afraid." "I was too," Hannah admits, undoing my shirt and leaning in to kiss my chest. She runs her tongue over my nipples, biting lightly and making me moan as her breasts press against the bulge of my cock inside my jeans, her warmth soaking through the denim and making me throb. I run my hands through Hannah's hair, gasping as she kisses back and looking me in the eyes as she straddles me. "I'm not afraid anymore. I love you, Tony." Hannah puts her arms around my neck and rolls her hips, riding my cock through her panties and jeans, kissing me deeply as she does. I chuckle. Not this time. Instead, I reach around and pick her up, setting Hannah on the wide wooden top table that the cafe uses for preparing pizza dough, making her giggle. "Plan on covering me with pepperoni and mozzarella? Don't give me any ideas," I tease back, kissing down her throat as my hands undo her bra. I free her breasts as Hannah runs her fingers over my shoulders and back, gasping when my lips find her right nipple and suck longingly. I devote myself to Hannah's breasts, licking and sucking to the sound of her gasps and light growls of pleasure while I undo my pants, freeing my cock. "Lie back," I whisper, helping Hannah down, before lifting her hips and easing her panties off. I kiss my way down and trace my tongue over her lips. Hannah's hips buck, and I slip my hands under her ass, cupping her cheeks to lift her pussy to my mouth, not letting her get away as I suck and taste her. My tongue slides up and down between her lips before I swirl around her clit, teasing Hannah. "Tony, God, you feel so good," she gasps, and I reward her by letting my tongue flutter over the tip of her clit, tickling lightly. Her breath catches in her throat, and choked pleas rip from her lips. "Please, please, please." I stroke my tongue over her clit harder, sending her hurtling into the throes of her orgasm. I keep my mouth glued to her, refreshing the exhaustion in my body with every droplet that coats my tongue and dribbles down my throat. When she's done, I stand up, my cock iron hard and pulsing with desire. I lift her knees. The table is at just the right height that I don't have to do anything to line myself up. Holding on to Hannah's thighs, I push forward slowly, my cock sinking into her in a single long, amazing thrust that leaves both of us staring into the other's eyes. She reaches down and entwines her fingers with mine as I let her knees slide to my elbows, holding her open and vulnerable to me as I fill her all the way up. Her pussy grips me tightly, sending thrills through my cock to bloom in my chest before exploding in my brain, signals that tell me she's the most beautiful woman I've ever known, and that I finally found my perfect partner. Slowly, taking our time, I thrust my cock in and out of Hannah, our eyes never wavering with each stroke. My heart beats hard and deep in my chest with every slap of our hips together, and my breath quickens as I pump faster and faster. Leaning down, I kiss Hannah hungrily, pushing her back further onto the table to climb up, pressing her body into the warm wooden surface, and holding her still. Our tongues stroke and twist together, sharing breath and soul as we speed up, my hips driving my cock into her with all the passion and love that I've been holding back ever since I left Hawaii. My fingers tremble as I grab the edge of the table, my cock pumping harder and faster, Hannah wrapping her legs around me and digging her fingernails into my back as her pussy tightens around me. She's so close to coming again. "Tony, fuck! Now!" I gasp, my balls growing tight and my cock swelling in an instant before I come deep inside her, my heart stopping as I fill her up. Hannah quivers and gasps, crying out my name again and again as she holds me tight. I hold on to her, my heart and soul bared as I stay deep inside her, feeling her pussy milk and squeeze me until not a single drop is left, and I feel myself truly bonded for the first time in my entire life. As my heartbeat returns to normal, I hold her close, letting my skin just press against hers, the feeling so perfect that I never want to let her go again.
So, what about your job? Your apartment?
Hannah shakes her head, kissing me softly on the lips. I don't want to go back.
What do you mean?
I ask, stroking her back and looking in her eyes. You told me your job was important to you.
It was, but I found something more important.
And I was thinking, if Oliver's going to send you to manage Wesley's estate, you might need a partner.
Huh, I tease. Well, Cassie does know the place pretty well.
Hannah laughs, tugging on my hair. Don't make me go rough next time. I'll still go Katniss on your ass if I have to. I laugh, kissing her soft lips. It'd be a dream come true for us to be back there together.
Chapter 27. Hannah. The clock is just hitting noon as I come into the office the next day after grabbing the first flight home. I was certain I'd have armed security guards waiting for me the moment I walked into Aurora, along with a team of lawyers. Nobody says anything, though. But still, I feel certain they'll read all over my face how their plan has backfired. I was honest with Tony last night. I don't want to come back here, but I need to talk to Myra and give my notice. She's treated me right, and to just bounce in the middle of the night after cutting Aurora's hamstrings isn't right. Still, I'm nervous as I step off the elevator, expecting either icy silence or a hail of gunfire. As it is, as soon as I step off the elevator to the fifth floor, Cassie takes one look at me and grabs my hands. What's going on, Hannah? Listen, I know we talked, but it's been a madhouse here this morning. Myra's been upstairs most of the time, and I swear it's like a mausoleum today. Myra came down a few minutes ago, and she looks like she's aged a decade since 9 this morning. I begin, but before I can fill Cassie in on the details of everything that happened last night, Myra pops her head out her doorway. Hannah, you're finally here. I need to see you and Miss White immediately, please. Cassie's eyes are desperate. She wants details about what happened, but I just shake my head at her as we walk into Myra's office together and sit. Cassie's right. Myra looks for the first time like a woman who's seen her best days behind her. Her face looks slightly lined, and her hair hangs limply. Even her suit looks rumpled. She just looks tired. The board received a rather distressing call from Mr. Mauber this morning. He's enacted an obscure clause in the contract that no one realized was there, the legal department included. I'm sure heads are going to roll for that. If I were either of you, I'd avoid the 10th floor unless you want to get blood on your shoes.
Ew,
Cassie murmurs, going a trifle paler. She's looking rather goth at this point, with her red lipstick and near ash-white skin. Myra gives a tired sort of chuckle, nodding.
Yeah. Clause 31E effectively means that he can cancel his intent to sell to Aurora with no penalties, other than returning the down payment we already transferred to him.
That's interesting, I reply as Myra gives me a level look.
I can't reveal that I tipped off Wesley. It'd get my ass sued from now until I'm a grandparent. And if it came out that Tony was involved too, Oliver would find himself the most successful coffee shop owner in the welfare office. I have to dance on the edge of a knife right now and pray that Wesley is as much of a shark as he claims to be.
How?
Myra shakes her head. Somehow, he seems to have gotten information on our plans for the property. According to Mauber, what Aurora had planned violates local laws on exploitation. And so he triggered the clause unilaterally.
Can he do that?
Cassie, who wasn't involved last night, asks in shock.
Of course again, Myra grumbles. I just got back from a meeting with the board, and Mr. Thompson, head of legal, was in there. Apparently he had the nuclear option in his back pocket the entire time, and triggered it as soon as he caught wind of what we were going to do. The question the board has right now is how Mauber found out.
What are they thinking? I ask, knowing my face might as well be a giant sign that's flashing guilty, guilty, guilty over and over. Myra gives me a look, leaning back in her chair.
There's suspicions flying all around. I'm not going to lie. A couple of those accusations have been leveled at this floor. But Mauber's not staying, and the company had already gotten in contact with quite a few sources in Hawaii, so it could be any number of people. Of course, everyone is denying it. They don't want to have legal on their asses. Do you two know anything?
I stay silent, Cassie looking at me with her lip trembling. She's been so helpful and loyal to a fault. If she sells me out, she can save herself, maybe even get a promotion out of it. But instead, she says nothing, and I give her a look and a small nod. I'm sorry, Myra, but I really have no idea.
Myra nods, her face grim. Well, let's just say that hypothetically, of course, Wesley got the information from someone at Aurora. The witch hunt is going to get pretty hard and heavy around here, with a lot of eyes on this floor. By the way, corporate's told me that they're going to be going into fire sale mode on the real estate development side.
Let me guess, they call it corporate restructuring? I ask, and Myra nods. I sigh, knowing what I'm going to say next is going to make this more difficult.
Then I guess I'll get it started early. Myra, I came in today to give you my notice. I'm quitting.
Myra doesn't look surprised, and instead leans back.
You know that by doing that, you're going to get a lot of people saying you're the leak. You practically broadcast it to the entire building the other day that you hated the plans.
I nod and take a breath. Myra, I have learned so much from you, and your mentoring has taught me many things. You taught me how to read people and negotiate, when to show your cards and when to bluff, and most importantly, to trust your gut. But the biggest lesson you taught me, I don't think you've even realized.
What's that?
Myra asks. Next to me, I can see Cassie watching intently. She's being brave, oh, so brave, that I wish I could hug her right now. But I need to tell Myra this. Myra, you showed me, and I bet if you ask Cassie, she'll tell you the same thing. You showed us that sometimes you just have to do it your way. I don't know, maybe you filtered Sinatra a bit too damn much when you were younger, but you made it by doing what you felt was the right thing. I learned that by watching and learning from you. I'm resigning because it's the right thing to do. This company took my hard work, and they perverted it from minute one. Not you, but corporate. They fed me a line of bullshit, played me like a pawn, and then at the end, they didn't even have the presence of mind to say thank you. It's just not the kind of place I want to work. Myra's eyebrows have risen nearly to her hairline, but she doesn't appear angry, more pleased at my little speech.
Nice speech, Hannah. But your resignation is not accepted.
What? I ask, surprised, but Myra's expression gives me pause. What are you doing?
Saving your ass, Myra says with a small smile. Hannah Fowler, effectively immediately, you are fired. Your position is being eliminated as a budget-saving measure for the real estate division of Aurora.
Aurora wishes you the best in your future endeavors. I laugh softly. Myra's covering my ass. If she fires me, she might take some heat, but it'll take heat off me.
You sure about this?
I'm sure, Myra says. And if I may, one last lesson.
I've always considered myself rather bold, but you have some big clanking brass balls. Use them wisely.
Myra laughs and sticks her hand out for a shake.
Best wishes, Miss Fowler.
I'll give you a glowing recommendation anytime you need one. With a clap, she turns to Cassie.
All right, Miss White, now with our office being shorthanded,
I'm leaving too,
Cassie says, her mouth set in that same line of determination I've gotten used to seeing. This is the same Cassie who fought like a mongoose on speed during the tug of war.
I can't stick around.
Yes, you can, I say, reaching over and taking Cassie's hand.
Cass, I've got something else lined up.
I'm sure Myra knows it, looking over at her.
But you need this. Stick around a little while. Help Myra get the fire sale going. Get the ball rolling. Cash your paychecks and make connections. Protect yourself.
Listen to Hannah, Myra says quietly. Stick around and I'll make sure you're taken care of. Besides, I was going to say, you just got a promotion to my primary assistant. Real estate's going to work as a two-woman shop until we get either absorbed or closed down.
Give me 3 to 6 months, and I'll make sure there's a good severance check in it for you. Just make sure you're prepared for what's next. Cassie looks determined, and I give her hands another squeeze, leaning in to whisper to her, "Say yes. I just had an idea, and we'll talk about it in my office. Let me go clean out my things." "Fine. Fine. Pair of crazy-ass bitches around here," Cassie mutters. "Okay, but that means I'm done cleaning out the coffee pot around here." I give Cassie a quick hug and collect a few things from my desk before waiting. Cassie comes out a few minutes later, looking afraid but still brave, willing to do what needs to be done. "So, you're packed?" "Yeah," I reply, patting the small box of stuff. I never kept a lot of personal things in the office, and my office laptop, I just made sure was scrubbed of any personal files. "Listen, when things are done here with Aurora, give me a call. I suspect that with what's happening, I'm going to be meeting some new people. Between your charm and a sparkling recommendation from Myra and me, I'm sure we can find something you'd be perfect for." Cassie laughs and comes over, giving me another quick hug. "Well, if that's the case, maybe I can cash a few checks. Don't become a stranger, okay?" "Stranger? I'm planning on taking you out to dinner tonight," I tease. "Us fired people, we've got all the money we need. I'm getting some pizzas, and then you're helping me pack up my stuff." "Moving too, huh?" Cassie asks, and a nod. "I can guess where. Probably won't need that heavy leather jacket where you're going." "Not in the long term," I agree. "In the short term, who knows? I'm just going by my gut and faith. Give me a call when you get off work, and we'll make some plans." I head back to my apartment, not as bothered by its emptiness this time, because I'm just here to gather up my bare necessities. I'll have movers pack and ship the bulk of my things, and donate the rest, because my new life awaits in Hawaii.
Chapter 28. Anthony. This place had better have some good rum and whiskey. Otherwise, I don't think I'll be able to handle all this riffraff. I grin as I look over at Ivy Jo Price, who's scowling in her seat as the hum of the plane engine drones in the background. Armed with her cane and wide-brim hat, she looks like she's ready to do battle. "What riffraff, Grandma?" Mindy asks, who's sitting beside her and cooing softly to her daughter to keep her quiet. "You're surrounded by your grandchildren and great-grandbabies. Isn't that wonderful?" Ivy Jo stares at her granddaughter as if she's gone nuts. "I am, but then I keep having to listen to Mary Jo go on about that damn dog. I told her she couldn't bring the thing, and she's not letting me forget it. Like it's my fault that dog wasn't allowed as a carry-on." She shakes her head mournfully. "So disrespectful. Why, when I was younger..." Caleb, who's been getting his ear talked off between Mom and Ivy Jo, gives me a look of suffering. "Okay, so it was a little unfair. But that was the way first class was laid out, 3 and 2. And he seems to put up with the eccentricities of older women like Ivy Jo better than the rest of us. Tony?" "Hey, it could be worse," I reply, pointing behind me, where Roxy and Cassie have been going since takeoff. Thankfully for Jake, he was willing to sit between two baby carriers. So Justin, my new little nephew, and Mindy's newborn baby girl, Rachel, had plenty of care, and Jake could get some sleep. "Hey, Stud Muffin, you hush before you're in my next song," Roxy teases, reaching around and ruffling my hair. "Gotcha." "You're a mother now. You'd think you'd grow up some," I protest, trying not to laugh. Now that I've got Roxy, not only as a sort of sister-in-law, but also as my girlfriend's bestie, I've gotten to know her a lot better, and she's been a real trip. I can see why she and Hannah get along so well. We land and get our rental vehicles, leaving Honolulu behind to head directly to Wesley's property. There'll be time for touristy stuff later. When we arrive, there's stunned silence as everyone takes in the beauty. They've all seen photos. Hannah's gigabytes of memories have helped. But there's nothing like the real thing. Wesley's waiting as we pull up, Momo on his shoulder. "Pleasant greetings, travelers and friends. Welcome to what's soon not going to be my home." I laugh, getting out to shake his hand, Only slightly surprised when he gives me a huge embrace before hugging Hannah as well. He goes around shaking hands with everyone else until he reaches Mindy and Roxy's grandmother. What in the Lord's name is that on your head? It looks like you took my kitchen mop and decided to use it as a hat. Wesley chuckles. Well, Alani has been asking me to get it shaved off, so I guess that makes it unanimous. Would you like to have one of the locks? Like they do when they cut a retiring sumo champion's hair? Ivy Joe makes a face and then looks at me. Tony, if you let your hair grow into a rat's nest like that, I'ma take a butane torch to your head. Rat nest? Momo echoes. Don't need no water. Let the motherfucker burn. I like this bird, Roxy says, chuckling. Good taste in music. Shake your rump, Momo says, starting a little boogie on Wesley's shoulder, and we all laugh. I let Wesley take the lead, transferring us to quad runners for the postnatal women and Ivy Joe as she shows off his property. Everyone's enchanted. And more than once, Oliver gives me a look that says he's counting his lucky stars. And right up that trail is where the hiking challenge took place, Wesley says. I was planning on taking you all up there for sunset. The view is fantastic. Just a moment, I interrupt. You know, I wanted to grab a midday photo from up there. Hannah, if you don't mind. Sure, Hannah says, not seeing as I give Wesley a wink. Hannah gets off her quad runner, letting Gavin take over, while Cassie takes mine. It gives them time to go around the long way and still get there ahead of us. I take Hannah's hand, and we start up the trail, relishing the clean, wonderful air. I'm glad for the quiet. Hannah laughs. You know, I can't believe how everything worked out. I'm going to be dead broke for a while longer still, but that's okay. In the end, the right thing happened. What about Cassie and Myra? I ask, and Hannah smiles. Cassie says that for a little while at least, she's gonna help out Roxy and Jake until she figures things out. Apparently, they need a fill-in bartender over at Club Jasmine, and she's still got her server's license from back in college, Hannah says. She'll be fine. She says she's happier this way. Myra's moving on too, striking out on her own. I don't know what all she's got planned, but knowing her, she'll come out just fine. We reach the top and head over to the blue rose bush. I wrap my arms around Hannah, kissing her neck. She moans lightly, humming with happiness. You know, I'm all sweaty. That walk wasn't any easier this time around. I chuckle, wrapping my arms around her tighter and licking the salty tang off her skin. I happen to know a nice little pool and cave where we can go cool off. I was thinking the same thing, Hannah says, taking my hand and placing it on her left breast. I was thinking some other things, too. Like what? Like the bathroom in the airplane was too damn small to do what I wanted, Hannah says, tilting her head and giving me a warm kiss. Come on. We walk hand in hand to the pool, where the birds are quiet, but the water's crystal clear. This place is gonna be special to us, I say as we draw closer. Hey, what's that? What's what? That, I say, pointing. Something in the shallows behind you. Hannah turns, seeing the glinting light. I'm not sure. Hannah kneels and reaches into the water, and I try to hold on to my serious expression, waiting for her reaction. It's a ring, and it looks like it's got one hell of a diamond in it, she says. I wonder who it belongs to. Let me see, I say. She hands me the ring, and I grin, getting down on a knee. It's yours, if you'll have me. Hannah Fowler, will you marry me? Hannah's shocked, barely breathing as she looks at the ring, and a quiet voice comes from nowhere. I would accept. According to some of the villagers, you're already married. Hannah looks over, a startled gasp coming from her as Alani leads everyone to the other side of the pool. What? That place we went to the night of the festival? I tell her, grinning. According to Alani, it's an old native temple. Basically, by doing what we did, we told the gods that we were one. So, how about making it legal in the eyes of modern law, too? She's shocked, and tears trickle from her eyes.
Oh my God, yes, but when? We're going to be so busy with, and I'm booked to sing at your wedding tomorrow, Roxy says. Sort of my comeback performance. I haven't sung a wedding in, well, ever. Hope I don't screw it up. Hannah blinks, then looks at me, grinning. You mean the tickets, flying everyone out? You knew this all along? I didn't have an answer. I just grinned. It's a surprise to Cassie, though, who laughs. How did you know she would say yes? Because she knows I'd do anything in the world for her. Because she's the light in my heart, the breath in my lungs, the blood in my beating heart, I reply, standing up and taking Hannah's hands. Because I love her more than life itself, and the only thing that would make me happier is when we have children together. Hannah knits her brows, scowling. Oh, so you want me barefoot and pregnant, do you? Barefoot is how a lot of the locals go around, I point out. And Hannah lets go of her mock anger, laughing. I wouldn't have it any other way. We kiss, to the wild applause of everyone. Until Grandma Ivy Jo comments how her old bones are ready for a trip to the spa that she heard about. And I heard something about cabana boys. Is that true, Caleb? Caleb groans, looking at Cassie. I'm so gonna toss you in the ocean before we leave. Hey, guys. Think we can meet you back at the house in about an hour? I ask. We've got a few things to talk about. They leave, and I look at Hannah, who's grinning. Well? Well, what? She asks before pushing me in the pool. Race you to the cave. Whoever gets there first is in charge. Hannah scampers over the rocks, laughing as I'm forced to swim. Even with her speed advantage, Hannah has to pick her path carefully, and I plunge through the water with abandon, loving the feeling of the competitiveness we had together before. I gave her the obstacle course. I sure as hell am not making that a habit. I pull hard through the water, feeling the waterfall pound onto my back as I emerge, and find Hannah just sitting down on the blanket. Guess who gets to be in charge? She teases me, leaning back and letting her body stretch out in the dim magical lights from the crystals. I open my mouth to protest, but realize I don't have to anymore. I move across the pool and hoist myself out, grinning. You're lucky I don't have a water balloon handy. Lie down on the blanket, Hannah says, and get those shorts off. Now, where did I put that butt plug Cassie gave me? I laugh lightly, pushing my shorts down and lying back, as Hannah takes off her bra, straddling my head and lowering her pussy toward my eager lips. I feel a surge through my body that has my cock standing at full attention. Now, if you're good, I don't need any more encouragement, and I reach up, tracing Hannah's lips with my tongue before sliding it deep inside her, tasting her, and making her gasp. I feel her wrap her hand around my cock and pump lightly, moaning as I suck and tease her, dragging my tongue deep inside her before sucking on her clit. Hannah grinds her pussy over my mouth, stroking my cock and moaning. I can't see anything except the glistening pink of her pussy, and I don't care. I devote everything I have to her as I let her control everything. With a gasp, Hannah pulls away just as I thought she was about to come. Wait, she says, her voice shaking as she repositions. She straddles my hips while facing away from me, reaching down and lining my cock up with her pussy. She sinks down, my cock enveloped in the tight, clingy warmth of her body. Her ass is right in front of me, and I reach down, massaging it as she starts riding me, moaning happily. You know just how to please me. Watching Hannah's ass as she rides me is mesmerizing. Each flex of her hips and perfect timing of my cock sliding in and out of her tight pussy. My cock throbs as she rolls her hips, gasping when I smack her right butt cheek lightly. And I know this feels good, I add. She looks back, a gleam in her eyes and a smirk on her lips, as she clenches her pussy around my cock. I start thrusting up to meet her, and Hannah groans, throwing her head back, and I grab a fistful of her hair. We fall into a perfect joining, my cock thrusting up to meet her exactly, both of us adding to the speed and electricity crackling through the air. Keeping one hand tangled in her hair, I use the other to squeeze and spread.